Hello and welcome to the Monday, March 30th, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Over the weekend, Didier published an interesting post with yet another piece of XML malware that he came across. In this case, there was part of the XML payload that was base64 encoded and then clip compressed. With an updated version of his OLE dump tool, you're able to analyze this kind of malware. And he did publish also a video with a walkthrough how this applies in this particular case. He calls this sort of the Matryoshka edition of XML malware because of this nested kind of encoding that was being used similar to the Russian dolls, where you have sort of one doll sitting inside another. And late last week, GitHub did experience a massive denial of service attack. If you had issues connecting to GitHub, that was probably the reason of it. By now, they apparently do have it under control and they adjusted the mitigation to counter this particular attack. According to their status page, the response time from various GitHub services appears to be pretty much normal now. Now, a denial of service attack by itself may not necessarily be newsworthy, but what's really interesting here is how this particular denial of service attack was conducted. Apparently, if users from outside China went to Baidu, Baidu being China's answer to Google, one of the more popular search engines in Google, then Baidu's user tracking code injected some JavaScript that then instructed browsers to connect to github.com/greatfire and github.com/CNNewYorkTimes, which are projects that help Chinese citizens to bypass the Chinese firewall. Now, we have seen similar sort of effects of the Chinese firewall all of a sudden redirecting users to a different services instead of the blocked service, and with that sort of launching a little bit of denial of service attack. In some ways, I've always a little bit suspected that this is really more a trial of a system to use the Chinese firewall as a denial of service system. However, injecting JavaScript and then instructing browsers to send requests to the victim is a new technique as far as the Chinese firewall is concerned, and pretty concerning because it is very difficult to filter. These requests come from real browsers and then they come from users outside of China. So, for example, GitHub couldn't just block connections from China, but instead users who visit Baidu from the US, for example, will then be subjected to the JavaScript code that will then attack GitHub. And by apparently being able to manipulate inbound as well as outbound traffic using the Chinese firewall, the Chinese government is then in an ideal position to inject JavaScript code, which essentially comes down to defacing all of these different websites that are being requested via the firewall. And the next attack is, well, a lot smaller, but pretty ingenious, in that a prisoner in a prison in England was able to spoof a release email to the prison that actually resulted in the prisoner's release. The email was spoofed using a cell phone that this prisoner smuggled into the prison, and then he essentially just sent an email to the appropriate individual at the prison with a request to release him. Yet another good reason to think about email authentication, digital signatures, and the like in order to prevent an attack like that. His freedom, however, didn't last very long. He surrendered after 3 days. Incidentally, he was in prison for various fraud offenses, in which apparently he was able to convince large companies to send him lots of money, claiming to be working for a bank. And as our networks get faster and faster, one of the problems, of course, is to come up with decent firewalls and fast firewalls for these networks. If you're using Linux IP tables, one of the problems you're running into is that, for example, for a 10 gig network, you're somewhat limited by the bus speed and CPU speed of the system. There is now, however, a solution for you, and that's a Linux driver for certain 10 gig network cards, mostly those that run Intel 82599 chipsets. These chipsets allow you to filter traffic on the card itself. Of course, your rule set is a little bit more limited than what you're used to from IP tables, but you can define a couple thousand different filters on the card itself, so this traffic will then never be seen by the CPU. You'll find a link to the project in the show notes. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.